السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, we have been discussing a reply to a letter given by Hazrat Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh. The one who wrote the letter was a student of his who had spent many years studying, and thereafter he asked for some advice, some nasihat, mentioning that he has learned quite a bit, but he wants something very brief, very concise, so that he may be able to practice and get salvation in the hereafter. We have already discussed some part of that letter. It's a very lengthy letter, therefore I'm just giving you the highlight or the gist or some of the hadiths that he mentioned in that letter. We are discussing one hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi writes. He says, as a Sheikh Shibli rahmatullah alayhi, he is reported to have said that I studied or I met 400 ustads. From 400 people I learned hadiths. 4,000 hadiths I learned from them. But the gist of all the hadiths that I learned of the 4,000 is what we have discussed, that make amal for the dunya بِقَدْرِ مَقَامِكَ فِيهَا. For the duration of time that you are going to live in this world, make that much effort for this world. And for the akhirat, make that much amal as much as you are going to stay in the akhirat. In the akhirat, how long a person is going to live, he knows. So make as much amal for the akhirat as you are going to live in the akhirat. Make amal for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala biqadri hajatika ilayh, as much you are in need of him. As much as we are in need of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that much amal we must make for Allah. And remember, Allah ta'ala only accepts that amal which is done solely for his pleasure. If a person has partnership in his amal, that partly for people and partly for Allah, then Allah ta'ala does not accept such kind of partnership. Allah ta'ala is not a shareholding company. Whatever amal a person makes, whatever ibadat he makes, whatever zikr or tilawat he makes, whatever charities he gives, whatever waaz and nasihat he gives, whatever knowledge he seeks, when he is dealing with his family, with his people, with the clients, with customers, everywhere there can be just one simple niyat. And there is no need to keep on making the niyat every time. You don't have to tell the customer, just wait a little while, I'm making some niyat. Or when the person is talking to his family cheerfully, he doesn't have to say, just hold on a little bit first, I'm making a niyat. Niyat doesn't take any time. All he has to just think of is that, is my Allah pleased with this or not? Is it according to the Quran and Sunnah or not? What am I doing? What I am doing, is it according to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's commands and instruction or not? That's about all. If it is, then say, ya Allah, I'm doing it for your pleasure. Then the person says, if he does it according to the Quran and Sunnah for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then he will be rewarded for even mundane activities of his life. Eating, drinking, sleeping, everything is normal, natural for a person. But if he does it for the pleasure of Allah, the same thing becomes ibadat. So he says, make amal for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as much as you are in need of him. And we are in need of Allah ta'ala all the time. Therefore you may have heard on the night of Mi'raj that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or on the talk that was given in the night of Mi'raj, generally this fact is mentioned, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he went for Mi'raj, what did he say to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? What was his presentation to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala the moment he was given an audience with Allah? Imagine Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is being called to see Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in his countenance, in his glory. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he could have said a lot of other things. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could have presented a lot of facts and information. Allah ta'ala is well aware of everything. But still he could have gone on discussing so many things that were happening in the Muslim ummah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam must remember that it was his wife who had passed away in the 10th year. His uncle had passed away. And the boycott, 3 years of ostracism and boycott had just ended. There were so many things that had happened. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could have discussed all those things. That I made so much of sacrifice for you, O Allah. I did this for you and I did that and I did that. He could have given a whole history. He could have taken a whole publication with him as we do nowadays. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not interested in name and fame. Allah ta'ala gives name and fame to those people that he desires. And Allah ta'ala generally gives to those who conceal. Those people who conceal what they are doing or they try to conceal, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala exposes. The person who wants name and fame, then he should not go searching for it by advertising himself in newspapers. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give him name and Allah will give him fame if he does everything for the pleasure of Allah. That person's niyat must be for Allah ta'ala's pleasure, then that name and fame which will come with the pleasure of Allah, there will be barakat in it, there will be rahmat in it, and there will be protection of that person in that. And that name and fame which comes because of the person's personal searching for it, then he may get name and fame, but there will be no protection from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and in fact there will be no barakat and no rahmat. So outwardly there will be some kind of name and fame, but in the hearts of the people there will be no izzat and no respect. As many of our politicians, and many of our kings, and many of our cabinet ministers in every part of the world, we know that outwardly people respect them a lot. But what is that respect for? That respect is matlabi respect. When the matlab is over, then after that, that respect is gone too. Until that person can give some permits, he can give some contracts, he can do some underhand work for him, he can assist him and help him in his financial problems by giving him licenses, or whatever it is, until then this person is respected. But after that there is no respect for that person. How many we have seen in our lives, we don't even hear of them. And yet at one time those people were pretending as if they were the closest of friends and respecting them so much. But when they were gone from that position, when they were gone from that ministry, when they were gone from that government, when they lost in the elections, after that they were not heard of. So this is not the type of respect that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives to his awliya. Those who are the friends of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that respect remains in the hearts of the people until the dying day. And even after they are dead and gone, ages after that, people will still respect them. Why are people flocking to the mazars of awliya-i-kiram? One Englishman had written that I went to India and something strange I saw. That a person that passed away from so long, person who passed away ages ago, but he is still ruling upon the people from his grave. And he was talking about Hazrat Khaja Ajmeri Rahmatullah Alayh, that from his grave it seems as if he is ruling upon the hearts of the people. So this is what we are talking about, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives respect to those people who do things for the pleasure of Allah. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, yes, that's the point I nearly slipped my mind, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went for Mi'raj. He could have given a whole presentation, but his presentation, At-tahiyyatu lillahi was-salawatu wa-t-tayyibat, which basically means that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he made it very, very clear that, oh Allah, whatever I have done in my life, whether it is my physical, monetary ibadat, my verbal, oral ibadat, my charities, my gush, my invitation towards deen, whatever I have done, oh Allah, it was solely for your pleasure. So that is why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also gave him three beautiful gifts. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. You may have heard this many times, but if it just comes to my mind, I'm not going to leave it. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the reply that he gave, as-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Salamati be upon you, O my beloved Nabi. Peace. And when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says salamati, and peace, it doesn't mean just in this world. It doesn't mean just in the morning or in the evening. As greetings of other people, they say good morning, good afternoon, good evening. So if you met that person in the morning, you said good morning. In other words, I don't care what happens to you in the afternoon, and I'm not so much interested in what happens to you in the evening, as long as your morning is good. Look at the salam that Muslims have been taught. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that you must make salam to the person that you know or you don't know. Whether you know the person or you don't know the person, make salam. It's a dua that you are giving to him. So this salamati is peace in this world, peace in the qabr, peace in the akhirat, peace in your home, peace in your business, peace in every aspect of your life. There's so much in it that the person is saying when he's saying, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. How beautifully Allah ta'ala addresses our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam. What love is can be seen in that. Oh my beloved Nabi, salamati on you. And wa rahmatullah, Allah ta'ala's mercy, wa barakatu, and his barakat, Allah ta'ala's rahmat and barakat be upon you. Blessings of Allah ta'ala be upon you. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam at that place, right above the heavens, he did not forget his ummatis. Those who were going through with all the torture and trials and tribulations and hardships and problems with him. And at that time it was not as easy as today. At that time there was just a handful of people. They were small in number. And anyone who accepted Islam, it meant that he was now preparing himself for torture, for hardships, for difficulties. There was no halwa and there was no garlanding. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, no, Ya Allah, I don't want to just reserve that great rahmat and that mercy of yours and that blessing of yours for myself. I am not a miserly person. I want that this must be extended to the entire ummah of mine. I want that they must also be the recipients of this great ni'mat and great gift, peace in their lives, rahmat and mercy in their lives, blessings in their lives. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, As-salamu alayna, salamati upon us, wa ala ibadillahi salihin, and upon your righteous servants, upon the righteous servants of Allah until the day of Qiyamah. Whoever is going to be the righteous servant of Allah, then we must believe that this dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on the day of the night of Miraj was accepted. Allah ta'ala had made a promise. If Allah ta'ala gave to him these three things, he presented his three things. That means whatever he had done in his life, whether it was, we can attribute it to physical, whether we can attribute it to monetary, we can attribute it to oral ibadat, whatever ibadat. All that, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said it was solely for the pleasure of Allah, so Allah ta'ala gave him three things in return. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam extended these three gifts to the ummah. And he said, oh my ummatis that are going to come until the day of Qiyamah, there is no need for you to go around to the doors of people. There is no need to go and for you to go and tap at the door of United Nations. And there is no need for you to go and tap at the door of Britain and the door of France. You have got one thing that you have to do, and that is bring amal saleh in your lives. And Allah Ta'ala says he guarantees that he will give you peace, he will give you blessings, he will give you mercy. These three things are guaranteed by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, provided we do amal saleh. Provided we do amal saleh. And what is amal saleh? To do whatever Allah Ta'ala has asked us to do, to fulfill His orders and commands. That means to do what He has asked us to do and restrain ourselves from whatever is haram. That's all. These two things we do, then we are the recipients of these three ni'mats. Then in amal saleh there will be jihad also. In amal saleh there will be namaz also. In amal saleh there will be roza, zakat, hajj also. In amal saleh there will be charities. In amal saleh there will be talking cheerfully with one's family and children also. In amal saleh will be proper transaction of one's business also. In amal saleh will also be exercise if the person is doing for the upkeep of his body so that he stays in good health and he may be able to fulfill the hukam of Allah. So it doesn't mean amal saleh will now mean that this person must take one tasbih and read in the masjid 24 hours of the day. How pleasant, how easy, how practical Sharia and deen of Islam is. From whichever angle you look at it, there is nothing but beauty in Sharia. It's such a beautiful flower. The weakness is in us. We are not prepared to see the beauty in Islam. As that example I have given many, many times. But again, if it comes to mind, then why should we leave it? That a person, that it's just an example, that a woman was looking for the moon, the Eid moon or Ramadan moon, whatever moon she was looking for. So at that time, just before that, she had just changed the napkin of her baby. So a little bit of that stool remained in her fingernails, as women have got the habit nowadays to keep shaitan's nails. So she must have had a long shaitan's nail, so a little bit stuck under her fingernail. Now she is looking at the moon. And then when she's looking for the moon, or it was the 14th moon, bright and beautiful. But now when she raised her head towards the moon, and she had a finger on the nose, so she said, "Oh moon, there seems to be a filthy smell in you tonight." She said, "There seems to be a filthy smell, filthy odor in you tonight." So where did that filthy smell come from? It was in her fingers. It was not in that beautiful moon. So whatever weakness we find in Islam today, it is not the weakness of Islam, it's the weakness of our iman. We are finding faults in everything about Islam. And some people are even given sort of suggestions that Rasulullah should have said this, as if to say he didn't know what was going to come till the day of Qiyamah. That in these times this should have been Islam. In these times these changes should have been made. How can a person live without interest in these days? How can he go and buy anything without interest payment? Therefore, a suggestion the person is making, that these things should have been considered by Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for these days. So we are finding weakness in Islam that is our weakness. It's not the weakness of Islam. Islam is a beautiful deen, practical, simple. So if the person wants peace, he wants happiness, he wants satisfaction, he wants contentment, he wants tranquility, he wants serenity, he wants joy, he wants the rahmat of Allah, he wants maghfirat of Allah Ta'ala, he wants peace in his home, he wants peace in his family life, he wants peace in his business life, he wants peace everywhere, then there is no other solution except to do that which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did, that do everything for the pleasure of Allah, fulfill all the commands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has guaranteed that if you grow amal as-salih, then you will get all these things. So we are discussing that hadith. He says that 4,000 hadiths, and that is what I found, that do for Allah ta'ala that much that you are in need of Him. Do for this world how much you are in need of this world, and do for the akhirat as much as you are going to remain in the akhirat. And the fourth thing that was mentioned is that do for Jahannam, for the fire of hell, make that much as you are able to bear the fire of hell. As much as you are able to bear the fire of Jahannam, do that much for the fire of Jahannam. Now which person can bear the fire of Jahannam? We cannot bear the fire of this world. Where can we bear the fire of Jahannam? If we put our finger over a candle, one person was being tempted to commit zina. Every time he was tempted to commit zina. Now temptations will come. We are not saying temptations will not come. We are human beings. And if there was no such thing as temptation to sin, if there was no such thing as bad thoughts and evil thoughts, then there was no question of mujahada. Then Allah Ta'ala would have rather created us all angels and we would have gone straight into Jannat. The whole mujahada is to restrain ourselves when there is a temptation. So the temptations will be very strong at times. And the more strength and the more power you have to use to restrain your temptation, that much light of Noor will shine in your hearts. Like we know that when the water is falling very, very heavy from the falls, and they are using that for generation of electricity, the greater the fall, the more the electricity. In the same way, in the person's heart, the more mujahada he has to make, the more he has to strive towards restraining himself from haram, the more he will find that Noor generated in his heart. The more he will find that Noor generated in his heart. Daaghe hasrat hazar khaye hain, tab kahin jaake unko paaye hain. Daaghe hasrat hazar khaye hain, tab kahin jaake unko paaye hain. In haseeno se dil ko bachane mein, maine gham bhi bahut uthaye hain. In haseenon se dil ko bachane mein, maine gham bhi bahut uthaye hain. We have to take that gham on our heart. Then we will get that peace and sukoon. So the temptations will be there, and at present in the time that we are living, there's temptations from our right, from our left, from in front of us. If you lower your eyes and walk on the street, then too there's temptation. If you look up to this temptation, if you look right and left to this temptation, where there is no temptation, but you have to take that pain on the heart, then you will find Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and then see what nur is generated in the heart. So the temptations will be there. We are not saying there won't be temptation. But when the person restrains himself, and it is not difficult, many young people have tried it now, and within a few months or a few days they write and they say that now the peace and sukoon that we are finding in our heart, we never found it in the cinemas, in the theaters, in the porn magazines, in the filthy literature that we were reading. Some even mentioned that we had visited prostitutes, na'uzubillah, but we never found that enjoyment and that peace and that sukoon and that happiness that we have now found when we started restraining ourselves from haram. Because it's a promise of Allah Ta'ala that He will give it. فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةٌ طَيِّبًا. So every time that this person was tempted to commit zina, he lit his candle, or he lit a lamp, and he put his finger on there. Now when he started burning a little, then he's addressing his nafs. He said, why are you shouting now? Why are you shouting now? If you can't bear this fire of the candle, how do you expect to bear the azab of Jahannam? So he burnt his finger. He will apply a bandage, he'll put some ointment on it, but he won't commit zina. Now this is how people made mujahada, to restrain themselves from haram. I thought we will go further, but the time has expired. Inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives life, health and another opportunity, we'll continue. Our duty at present is to make a lot of dua for our suffering brothers and sisters and children in Palestine and other parts of the world too. Make dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect them from the torture, from the zulm, from the injustice of the enemies of Islam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.